Hey, wonderfuls, welcome to episode 310 of the podcast with my simply magnificent guest, Carrie Poppy. What a delight and a joy this conversation was. I feel very sure you will enjoy it as well. And if you are not already a fan of Carrie, which let's face it, you probably are, you will be in very, very short order, my friends. I would also just like to quickly remind folks that I have a new other improvised slash scripted podcast out in the world called Voyage to the Stars. It is starring Felicia Day, Colton Dunn, Steve Berg, and myself, and is available anywhere you get your podcasts. So check it out. I play a very sarcastic AI. I know, big stretch. And I also wanted to remind people that I will be at PodX. PodX is very, very Googleable. You can get a discount to PodX admission if you use code JV Club. And then I also just wanted to plant the seed. I feel sure many of you who are Max Fun listeners on a regular basis know that Max Fun Drive is swiftly approaching. I'm so excited about it. I have some fun stuff in store. So keep that in your minds. And I hope everyone's doing great. This is gonna, are those flip up glasses? All right, listen, I started recording. I started recording because the wonderful organic yet I make it gross by saying like, listen, I feel you're about to drop some wisdom on me.
Oh yeah.
Why would you waste it on just these two ears?
I'm sorry. We're Why would you waste it on
these two humble ears?
Why wouldn't we commodify?
When we could commodify it. I mean, I feel like I've commodified it that much in that I'm not like swimming in money from podcasting.
Sure. Yeah.
But I guess it is. It's something to be a free commodity. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I've gotten exorbitantly rich off of podcasting. Wonderful. But
well, you came in here dripped in jewels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my thing. That's
and
my personal
I just
brand.
Thought, wow, that's a lot of, are those sapphires?
They are a sapphire ruby hybrid.
Oh, I see. So
it gives them that,
oh,
really,
science.
That really disgusting brown color.
Yeah, that is what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
That is what I'm seeing. Yep. It's not purple.
No.
Just went straight to brown.
Yeah. No,
we wanted very like, deep.
We wanted it to remind you of like the after you have Pepto and then 2 days later you finally poop.
Yes.
It's like that ash brown.
Ash.
That's ashy. What we're going for.
They're beautiful.
Thank you.
I could still tell that they were worth a lot.
They were.
For
they
sure.
Are. Yeah.
Now you do have a crab on your sweater.
That's right.
It's very nautical.
Thank you.
Is there a significance to it other than that you enjoy it and it's nautical? Are you like a Cancer sign?
Okay. I am a Cancer sign, but it's not a reference to that.
Okay. So I'm just reading too much into everything.
I almost didn't want to admit that I was. But
it makes me look so intuitive.
No, you're right. You're right. July 13th, baby. But I got it when I was going on a cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, that's a cruisy sweater. I'm going to bring that.
But then you were like, but where am I going that I need a sweater if I'm
well,
going on a cruise?
Well, it gets cold out on the water sometimes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Fair.
In my yacht, which, uh-huh. you know.
Which you only recently purchased.
Right, right.
With your own no money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, none of that is true. But I did go on a Love Boat themed cruise.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How big was the boat?
I mean, it was a princess cruise.
Uh-huh,
so huge.
Big, yeah.
Enormous,
like a floating city.
Many thousands of people. I think they told us. It might have been like 40,000 people.
I know. That is a ton of people.
Those ships are enormous.
They really are. Okay, so and everyone who was on that ship had made the commitment that it was a Love Boat themed, or was it like a pocket
no.
of people?
Yes.
Okay, so it's like the Joko cruise, if you're familiar
uh-huh.
with that at all.
Yeah, but yeah, totally.
So, until they got their own boat, and now every single person on it is Joko
right.
related. But
yes, but yeah. precisely. I actually heard people walking around and talking to the staff, and the staff would say, "Oh, you know, Gavin McLeod's on board," and the guest would say, "Who's that?" And I was like, "Who's that? Why are you here?"
Yeah.
And then it turned out they just wanted to go to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
like,
guys.
Like, that's enough.
Yeah, who freaking cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I got to meet Gavin. Oh, it was, it was so
now,
good.
Now, how old is Gavin these days? Because he was like a young silver fox,
mm-hmm.
a bald silver fox,
yeah.
if memory serves. But he
yes,
wasn't that
correct.
Old. But in my mind, he was like 65, which I know he wasn't.
He wasn't. Yeah, he and Ed Asner both looked a lot older than they were
yeah.
in the Mary Tyler Moore Show. So I think he's like late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, so he's still up there. Right.
Yeah.
And was he spry? Was he like...
He was pretty good. Super,
yeah.
Yeah. He was talking to everybody at his book signing. I mean, 5 minutes with each person, which... You got to cut that down, Gavin.
You got to cut it down.
Yeah, that's too much.
Okay, so many questions. And so was his book about the Love Boat?
It was called This Is Your Captain Speaking.
Oh my God in heaven.
I read the whole thing. It's appropriate that you say that because it is largely about his Christian faith. And yeah, just, you know, his life on the seas of Hollywood.
Oh my God. Maybe I should listen to it. Was there an audiobook version?
Oh, that's a good question.
And if
I don't know.
Would it be read by him?
It should be.
Right?
But yeah, I feel like maybe it didn't make it to audiobook, but maybe it did. Who knows? Maybe I'm just a naysayer.
You're everything but a naysayer if you went on a Love Boat.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right.
And waited in line at the book signing.
Oh, yes. Very much so.
How long did you personally have to wait?
Maybe an hour and a half. Yeah.
But was it in an enclosed room? Was it in a room where you could look out, or was it one of those like...
Not really.
More of a loungy, like,
right, surrounded by dark wood for a long time. But Mary Tyler Moore Show is my favorite show of all time. So
nice.
Had to do it.
Very cool. Doing the Joko cruise, those rooms that are down, further down into the ship, or maybe there's like, you know, they have the portals, but they don't have the full sweeping kind of upper deck
panorama
windows. Those are the places that I find out I do get seasick. Like, I don't consistently get seasick.
The horizon,
but yeah.
And
sometimes it's not, I'm not aware that I'm needing to look at the horizon or anything like that.
Right.
It's just there will be moments down there where suddenly I lurch and I'm like, maybe I should go to a...
I've gotten seasick on those tiny whale watching boats, but
I've
never
been on a whale watcher.
Okay. If you get sick on a huge boat, you definitely shouldn't go on a tiny one.
Yeah.
Because they're really rocky. And
Whales would you say you've watched? How many trips to whale watch? And then also break down for me how many whales you've seen.
I have watched. Okay. So trips, I think I've been on just two, and you're lucky if you see a whale on a whale watching trip. So I think I've seen two, but they were both on one of the trips.
Uh-huh.
And then on the other, though, I got to see this beautiful pack. Is that the right word? Of dolphins? Pack of
a
dolphins?
Pod?
Doesn't
Is it
seem
a pod
right.
of dolphins?
Oh, maybe it's pod. Yeah.
I think it's a pod of whales. It may not be a pod of dolphins.
Oh, gosh.
It might
I
be like a fricassee
know.
Of dolphins.
Yeah.
You know, whenever someone decided to name stuff,
I
really missed out on that process.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have been elected to that
council.
I'd
like to pitch some group names.
Are
there
any left that haven't been done? There's no way. Unless they discover
maybe.
A new animal, you think?
You could, because, a murder of crows.
Yeah.
But then we just say a flock of birds. Why do crows get a special one?
Well, and then, it might be per bird species.
I don't think so,
because,
though.
Because it's a parliament of owls.
Oh, but see, we're talking about like the celeb birds, you know? I feel like pigeons
We might have to do a little.
My friends, the pigeons.
A cacophony of pigeons.
Now you're going to get like 40 emails that are like, actually, a group
I absolutely
of pigeons
will.
Is called a...
I absolutely will.
Requiem.
It will. I would love it if it were called a requiem.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It might be a requiem of doves, to your point.
See,
they're so similar, but one gets like
the
all
same
the dignity.
Species.
And the other one gets like, you'll find out that it's like, it's called a frustration of pigeons.
Right, because you know what? They deserve it because they're so underappreciated. Okay, I'm Googling group of pigeons, which is good radio. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for this to load. Okay, I'll set that aside and we'll come back to
good
it.
Luck.
It'll
I'm
be a callback.
Living the hills.
Point.
Enough said. How recently did you whale? You know what they should call it? Instead of whale watching, they should call it whale watching out for.
Oh, yeah. Whale hope.
Because then you're not expecting. Yeah, you're not expecting it as much.
It's kind of a mouthful, but yeah. I'll give
I mean, it
to
might
you.
Be. I mean, it's a little clunky, I guess.
How long has it been? I think the last time I went was 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a while. Because the last time I went was with an ex-boyfriend. And on that trip, I realized he was immensely selfish. And I broke up with him after it.
Yeah. So, sometimes you got to have those trips.
Yeah.
No, was that the one where you saw two whales or you didn't see any?
Where I didn't see any.
And was he feeling like it was the world was against him because he didn't see any whales and that helped you realize that he was too self-centered?
No, he was enjoying the trip, but I got terribly seasick and was vomiting off the side of the boat just throughout the trip for like 2 hours. And it was also very embarrassing, you know, because not everybody gets sick. And so here you are just, you know.
You don't want to be that one. Oh, you want to, yeah.
It was so rough. And then when we got to land, he said, yeah, I'm surprised you got sick because, I mean, I didn't get sick at all. I thought for sure I'd have to use my vertigo medicine. And I was like,
he never offered it to you.
You have freaking vertigo medicine on you? And he said, well, yeah, but I thought I'd need it. And I was like, this is it, Craig.
Yeah.
This is it.
You named him. We didn't name him.
Well, you don't get his last name. But.
Craig, could you come in here, please? We have a little surprise for you.
No, he was fine. He was fine. But that was...
Yeah, that's not... I can't do that's not a great... I mean, that's a... First of all, it's a perfect snapshot if you need a reason to explain to someone why.
Yeah.
You're like, let me give you one instance
you back
that recaps and, you know, sort of, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he did you a favor on that one, because it is. It's a good, like, quick nugget of a story where you can say, like, suffice to say, he did this and we broke up.
Totally. And it also, you know, then I don't have to give the long version where I make mistakes and he makes mistakes. Instead, it's just...
Just condensed down to one boat trip.
Catalina and Craig. Yeah.
Was that where you were? You were coming out of...
Yeah, it was a trip to Catalina and back.
Everyone says the ferry to Catalina is awful. Just the ferry to get there.
And that's bigger. I mean, the ferry at least is flat and huge.
Yeah.
The ferry's fine for me, but those little tiny boats, mm-mm.
But you did it once, and then you still did it again. So the first time you did it when you saw a couple of whales, maybe it wasn't as bad.
It wasn't. It wasn't nearly as rocky, and I didn't get sick. And I saw whales, and no one selfishly hoarded their vertigo medicine, so it was all fine.
What kind of whales were they? No pressure.
Gray-ish, grayish, bluish whales. Yeah.
Was it on two temperate? By the way, God knows why I'm getting so specific about this. But was it like a mother and a baby, or was it like one over here and then one over
one
there
over
and
here,
they were not
there.
Together?
Yeah, you don't see them together. I want to say ever, but maybe you do. And again, welcome to all the emails you'll get. But I think it was like I saw one and then half an hour later saw another. And then I remember the guide saying, oh my gosh, you guys are so lucky. We get excited when you see just one. You got two. You know, we should be asking you for more money now.
Which probably no one does that often enough that they would think anything other than like, no, this is a whale watching thing. And I got to see whales.
Oh, yeah.
Don't stop telling me how lucky I am.
Right.
And how rare it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Call it something else if you don't expect it to be whale watching.
Whale watching out for.
And right, exactly. And dolphins are... pretty cool. Why are we like acting like
also
that's
true.
Nothing?
Also
they were
true.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Anytime I've seen a dolphin, I have felt like it was a magical experience.
Call it water watching. I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. I said that with such gusto, and immediately was like, "Well, because Carrie, there's water in your sink."
How about sea gazing?
Yeah, sea gazing. Good.
Up close.
That's good.
Intimate sea gazing.
Yeah.
But from the surface. Again, I only know how to make things too long sound.
Yeah, so I'm not helping sea gazing. That sounds nice. Like stargazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been scuba diving / snorkeling?
Never.
And where
I
you,
would like to.
Did you grow up around water?
I grew up in La Crescenta, which is right near here. So
ocean adjacent.
Yeah. But, you know, I probably saw the beach 3 times a year or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really a thing where, you know, people, I think I'm from Arizona, and when I was little, I assumed, as many people do, like, well, if you live in a coastal city or if you live in, you know, a suburb of a coastal city, like, surely you're just near the water all the time.
Right.
And then I moved here and I never go to the beach.
Because it takes so long to get there and parking is impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also am not a huge... This will surprise no one who's listened to the podcast, but I'm not a huge like sunny beach day person. When I lived in San Francisco, that was optimal because then you can just sort of bundle up, put on your crab sweater.
Right.
And be get like, out there to the beach and
there's
be glad that you have a sweater on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How many cruises have you done?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah. Just
are they both
two.
To the Bahamas?
No. One was to Victoria, Vancouver. Nice. Yeah, I think that was it. It was like a little 3-day cruise. And that's when my boyfriend and I discovered, like, we love cruising. We are the youngest people here by 3 decades. Uh-huh. Everyone's playing bingo. There's literally shuffleboard.
That's good times.
This is very good.
Yeah.
And so then when I found out about the Love Boat cruise, I got that as a, I think it was an anniversary present.
Okay. So it's fair to say probably more cruises are in your future.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You know, I'm now in the gold circle, the captain's gold circle.
I'm not sure I knew there was one.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not anything, but they do tell you that you're in it so that then you'll be like, oh, look, you know, now I want to be Ruby.
Right.
You continue on.
Oh, so the gold is not as good as Ruby.
No. Yeah, that's weird, huh? I think
I guess I thought gold would be up there.
Yeah, I think it goes.
What if it goes the opposite? So it's just, first of all, I'm sure cubic zirconia is in there somewhere. Whatever that other thing is.
I was just thinking this. I think diamond's in there, and I think it's below ruby. Which,
wow.
I'll stand by, honestly.
Sure.
Diamonds are like just clear. Give me a nice red stone. That sounds better.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this idea that they just, it's like, listen, we're in international waters. The value of gemstones is bullshit.
Yeah, totally.
We don't follow the same rules. We happen to like rubies.
Yeah, good on them.
So fuck everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all watch Adam Ruins Everything. We know diamonds are just a made up thing.
Oh, diamonds, everybody.
Stop it with them.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a brother. But he's estranged from the family.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you mind if I ask? No, I guess that's not. Mm-hmm. He just is. Ask. It's not like it's like.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so long now. I haven't seen him since 2011. So I know.
Do you feel his absence or is does it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Shoot.
It's one of those things that, you know, my parents ask me if I've heard from him. And no, I promise I will tell you since it's been several years. I'll just let you know if I hear from him. I won't keep that to myself.
Right.
But they'll still ask, you know, every couple of weeks, well, have you heard from him?
And I'm like, oh, no. And not to get super morbid, but like, he's
alive.
He's okay.
He's just choosing.
He's just does not into talking.
Yeah, yeah. One nice thing about being a journalist is you know how to find everybody. So you can at least be assured that they're alive.
Yeah.
And he is alive.
Yeah.
But once someone's tried to hide themselves, you know, you don't want to insert themselves. You don't want to insert yourself and say, I found your address. Right. Hi. Yeah.
That probably makes you want to be in touch with me for sure.
Right. Exactly.
Message not received.
Right.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah. What was your sort of upbringing like in La Crescenta? And La Crescenta, for people who don't know the LA area, is where?
Sorry, I didn't help you at all with that. I was like, yes, go on.
Because I can't remember if it's like, I think I want to put it in a place that it is not, which is I want to combine like a La Cañada slash.
I'm nodding.
Whatever's next to it, where the Descanso Gardens are.
Mm-hmm.
Is that at all near La Crescenta? Or is that more?
That's,
I just don't know.
Pretty much right.
Oh,
so
really?
There's
oh, good. Okay. So got buried in there correctly somehow.
Well, Descanso Gardens is in La Cañada. So there's La Cañada, which is the sort of richer version of La Crescenta. La Crescenta's next door. And then
Flint Ridge, that's what the word I was thinking.
Oh, yeah. Flint Ridge is like an area of La Cañada.
Got it.
So then there's La Crescenta. And then next to La Crescenta, you've got Tujunga and then Sunland.
Okay. Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay. And Sunland Boulevard, that's when it's stretching all the way towards kind of like
North Hollywood once you get through the hills. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of horse country out there.
A lot of fires.
Yeah.
That was tough. The place where... we board our dogs is out in that area.
Oh gosh,
it's like this wonderful ranch with sleep and all this.
What's it called?
Paradise Ranch.
Oh yeah, my and dad I used was to bring so... his dog there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
it's so great. And I was out of town when the really bad fires happened right there in La Tuna Canyon, and I just had like, of course they had a contingency plan.
Right.
That was one of those situations where like, I'm calling them from out of town as if I'm the only one who's concerned.
Who's
like, we should probably, there's no one there right now. All the dogs are somewhere else. Everyone's safe.
Good. Thank God. That's so scary.
Yeah.
I rode horses out there at LA Children's Riding Center, mm-hmm. which is in Sun Valley.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I rode horses there for years while I was a kid. And when those fires hit, I was like, is the writing center okay? Yeah. Even though I hadn't been there in 15 years, but they're okay.
Okay, they're
everybody,
okay.
They're okay.
Everybody, don't worry. This is a very, very late-breaking bulletin.
Yeah.
Very late-breaking.
LA Children's Writing Center, okay. Yeah.
Now, is the Children's Writing Center something that, was that something that you wanted to do and made happen, or was that something that was kind of in the family, like, well, it was assumed that, you know, everyone in the family loves horses, so by, you know, by default, I would end up riding horses.
Man, I don't live in a world where that second one is possible.
Me neither.
I never thought that that was even a possibility.
Well,
but
you know, we're a horse
one.
Family, so
yeah. I'm trying to find, I brought, oh, here we go, here's pictures of me riding horses. I brought you
okay
a little scrapbook.
And there's actual little, I mean, it's a scrapbook. There's there's a horse sticker. There's some carrots, a bunch of carrots.
My mom made this.
There is a picture that, listen, we all have them. Because you and your friend are obscured by giant sunglasses, sunglasses, I could be one of these children. Because I have like
totally,
the exact same
you wouldn't
photo.
Know. I'm the
and,
shorter
yeah,
one.
It looks
that.
Like, I look like I could be the taller one. If we wanted
totally.
To tell people this is you and me,
oh,
people would
should.
Be like, yes, it
Let's
is.
Let's do it.
I can 100% verify
I'm
that.
I'm not in contact with her, so it's fine.
Okay, good.
That's
and
Linda.
I like stealing people's identities.
Yeah, perfect.
So we're going to be doing great. Now, I see, yes, there's a sticker that says number one pony. Did you have a... Is this dressage?
How bizarre.
Full disclosure, I'm not sure what dressage is.
You might be looking at dressage. Which one? Because I did both.
I see just the white sort of...
Could you hold it
up? I see like
up?
White... it's not like a thing you're jumping over. It looks like okay. It's more... It's on that page. I like it's good that we're getting
okay,
so
we
visual on
the podcast.
Okay,
we have one photo of dressage here, and it is the bottom right photo.
Okay, bottom right
bottom
dressage.
Right. That's dressage. So dressage okay. is like... gymnastics on horseback is how they describe Ooh. It, but you're not really doing gymnastics. You're just yeah. doing a bunch of poses and being like, look at me. It's
so
ours.
You're voguing.
Yeah,
it's
you're
horse voguing.
Voguing. Yes, it's horse voguing. That's right.
What did you have a preference between the more sort of, what is the other thing called, did you say?
Like jumping, riding. Yeah. You know, I guess I never... really thought about it, but I guess I did prefer dressage because there was sort of more performance to it, you know.
Yeah.
People would always say, oh, you have such an expressive face when I did do my dressage, but it's
I'm
also
dying
easier
to know what you're expressing on your face during
well,
dressage.
I remember, so I was doing the thinker, which basically you sit on top
oh
of the horse.
Oh my god. Oh, okay, so it's a whole thing.
You do Rodin's thinker.
Yeah.
And I made a face like I was thinking like this. And so
not to be confused with Grumpy of the Seven Dwarfs.
Right. A similar bit. Face for sure.
Yeah.
And afterward people were like, oh, you're so expressive. Look at you.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, thanks for watching the thing that was more important than the beautiful horse that was
exactly,
prancing around.
Exactly.
I also enjoy that very early on when you came in, you mentioned that you like to sit cross-legged, and now I know that it may have its roots all the way back to dressage times.
Oh, could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
The thinker.
Yeah.
Were there other poses now. Or was that your famous pose?
They're like, she's...
Were you known as the thinker?
Oh, do you see her? She's the thinker. No, I didn't have... a signature move. Uh-huh. So we all learned a stable of maybe 50 moves.
Okay.
And my favorite actually was the Cossack hang, which is you put your foot in a stirrup on one side and then you hang your body off the other side of the horse.
Okay.
And you're just laying there and you're like, God, take me as you will. Uh-huh. And then
that sounds, listen, vaguely sensual. I'm not going to lie to you. I know you were a child and I don't want to make things uncomfortable.
It's mostly.
But it sounds like you were provocatively draped on a horse.
Kind of, but like you have one leg in the air. Mostly it's very dangerous and scary for the person watching. But I was just sort of like, hey, if I die, I die. I was very.
You were a human
child.
Being who also probably didn't totally understand what dying.
No,
fully
I thought about
meant.
Death a lot. As
Did you
a
think
kid.
About death a lot?
I feel like I've chilled out a lot more as an adult than I was as a child. I think I was like very dramatic as a kid.
I was too, but my relationship to, I think what I thought was a fear of death was just a fear of like pain or the unknown. Because now that I'm older and I've had things and people that I care about die,
right,
it's like profoundly different and so much more depressing and grave when I think about death, whereas before I think it was just like anxiety and
fear of the, must've been fear of the unknown. Cause and it definitely was like, I don't want to try that. I don't want to do that. I don't know what that is.
Right.
What's that going to make me feel like?
You and know, what's the texture of it now? What's death now?
There's a feeling of like, so depressing. There's a like when I think about it now, I get this, I have that classic feeling of like, no, it's the feeling of like, if you have a dream where you're like driving off the side of a cliff, which I don't have very often. Uh-huh. But it's that feeling of like, no.
Oh no.
Like it's that, not yet. Yeah. Not yet.
Oh yeah.
You know, but there's like, it's very, it's this very wild, lonely feeling opposed to when I was little, it was just like, I'm scared.
Isn't it crazy that we bring people into the world and we're like, hey, I'm going to send you through decades and decades of crap. And then at the end of it, all your friends will die. And we're just like, I'm just going to assume my kid's fine with this.
Oh, God.
It's pretty wild.
It's pretty wild. And obviously we want to continue the species on some level, even though plenty would argue that we have a death wish as a species as well from all the things that we do to ourselves in the world. But yeah, I remember when my grandmother started like putting in people's names in pencil in her address book. And then
God,
I would see she was like, get me Myrtle's number, you know, and I would go and flip over and there would be like people crossed out
or erased
because they died.
Oh my God.
And she lived a very long time. She lived into her 90s. And there was a point at which she was like, I don't know if everyone I know is dead. Like everyone who's not my family, my younger family.
That's going to be us.
But listen, but like even when that was happening, that was like 15 years ago, it was still an abstraction to me.
Yeah.
Like that was, I could absolutely understand. I was like, oh yeah, I get that, you know, but I didn't really get it.
Right.
And somehow now in the last couple of years, I'm like, I really get it.
Yeah,
those
totally.
People are gone to her forever.
Yeah. It's a weird thing.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
Greetings, I am Plek Dexsetter, contacting you from the Zik Squadron, which is, frankly, sort of crappy, but I'm here on a heroic mission with my trusty crew, C-53.
Heroic feels like an exaggeration.
Okay, sure. And Security Officer Dar.
Plek, don't put me in your stupid recording.
Well, and we're all traveling aboard our trusty starship, the Bargerian Jade. Bargie.
What? Sorry, I'm awake.
It's fine.
I was just flying while asleep.
Hey there, this is Alden Ford. I play Plek, and we are so excited to announce that our podcast, Mission to Zix, is now part of the Maximum Fun Network. Our third season launches on Max Fun on March 20th. Binge seasons 1 and 2 right now. That's Mission to Zix, ZYXX.
So you actually actively kind of had a relationship to the fear of dying, even as a child.
Yeah, or fascination with, and then... When I was 13 in seventh grade, a friend passed away who was also 13. So,
I just didn't have anything that close up.
Right. Well, I was an evangelical Christian at the time.
Good on you.
No longer the case. But so I was terrified that she was in hell. And
oh, sure.
My church didn't really help me to assuage this fear. They basically, so terrible.
A lot to put a kid through.
I know. So I told one of the interns at my church, I told her like, well, this is what's really eating at me is this thought that my friend could be in hell. And I didn't tell her about Jesus while she was dying in the hospital because inappropriate.
What a heavy burden to bear.
And the intern at my church said, well, do you think maybe that's a lesson from God to never let that happen again?
I know. What happened to her?
She had cystic fibrosis.
Oh,
she was actually, she was expected to live to be like 6. So she lived to be 13 and was quote unquote lucky.
Yeah.
But I didn't meet her until she was probably 8. So it was always this sort of like, oh, Bridget outlived, you know, the
life expectancy.
Yeah, yeah. Like she's already proved the system wrong. She's going to keep doing it forever. instead of like, oh, she's on borrowed time.
Right, right.
Which was the reality.
Right. So you were born and raised evangelical?
Or? No. Oh. Weird, right? Oh. I went to church camp when I was 12 going on 13. And I was just like, oh my God, these people will be my family and they're going to love me and it's going to give me all this guidance and structure that I didn't have at home. And so I just bought the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker.
How did you find out about this church camp if it wasn't part of your fam?
So my friend Linda, who you're going to take her place, she was the one in the photo who's taller than me.
Sorry, Linda.
She had gone to this church camp. It's called Forest Home. And she went there one summer and
God,
then
that sounds either totally morbid or like completely fantastic.
Oh my God, it was the best place on earth. It was so great. I miss it. But she told me that she had gone the summer prior and that the theme had been The Lion King. And I was like, I gotta go to this camp.
They know
camp.
How to get you. Yeah.
Yeah, I want Lion King camp.
Sure.
And of course, the next year, theme wasn't The Lion King. It actually was a nautical theme.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Once again, you can't get away from the
maybe
drop an anchor. I don't know. That's not a thing. I mean, it is a thing.
That's the anchor of my life. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so. Yeah,
still,
so
it worked for
then
you.
Then I went back.
It did work for you. Lion King or no, it did work.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I loved it so much. But I was like very literal and I took everything literally. So when they would talk about Jesus dying on the cross, like I'd picture that. And I remember saying to my other 13-year-old friends, like, okay, we have to try our best not to sin because that's like putting another nail in Jesus's arm. You know, it was like a very intense.
You had a very vivid imagination and you really felt.
And I took it all of that. Like a real thing. You know, I think that people who grow up religious, they take for granted that you're absorbing all these things from the culture around you and your parents, and you're kind of getting the message that like, even if we say this is literal, some of it's symbolic. But for me, it was like, no, I hear you. Yeah. All right, got it. Ugh. He died on the cross. If I steal a pencil, I am putting another nail in Jesus's hand. So I
or worse, a pencil, which like is a bigger hole.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Putting a pencil in his hand. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I had this like super intense relationship with God that fortunately went away at some point.
But it what you're describing, and I could be totally wrong about this, but what you're describing does sound, I mean, I've told this story before. I won't make it a huge long story, but I do have a similar church camp experience.
Oh, right.
Where I did sort of fall in love with the experience of being there. It just so happened that it was with like a person who was there who had no time or interest in the church. So I went the other way and it totally changed me because she was like super goth and different. I went from thinking like I'm the number one misfit in this group of Mormon girls to thinking like, oh, someone's a bigger misfit than I am. I want to be with her.
Oh, wow.
But that time in my life is very close to the same age. It was like I was so ready. Like I was so open to have an experience where I could just get addicted to something or someone.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, it makes sense to me that this kind of rhapsodic experience would feel like, you know, like it was transcendental. Oh, I know who I am now. Or, you know, here's a set of things I can sort of live by that makes sense on some
level.
Keep me safe or whatever that might be.
And I can obsess over them. And if I do that right, I know how my story ends.
Right.
You know, comes back to the death thing. Like I know that I go to heaven. So all I have to do is do A, B, C, D. Phew.
Yeah.
What a relief.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also because I was also kind of like a slightly bullied kid. I felt like, oh, okay, like this is something I can do right that the rest of the people around me are not doing right. So, you know, while I feel unpopular and uncool, I know that I'm actually doing the thing that's expected of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God, that is. It's an interesting. Yeah, it's like leaning further into like, yeah, well, if people think I'm uncool, like they're the ones who are uncool
because
I've got Jesus on my side.
Exactly.
And I know that sounds flip, but I absolutely understand that.
That's 100%.
How it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I had like a huge cross that said, yeah, I'm a Jesus freak on it. Like, that's how big it was. You could fit those words on it. Yeah, I mean, oh.
Now, was, oh, the, poor was Carrie. There like was there music? Was it like contemporary music? Did it have the sort of like super church kind of like, yeah.
At the camp, yes, we had worship music, and I bought the tape of like the songs that were written for the camp that summer and took it home and played it all year. Yeah, so there were, you know, guys with guitars in open Hawaiian shirts playing.
Great.
But of course with an undershirt. This
yeah,
is church camp.
Let's not, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And cargo pants, of course.
Uh-huh.
Playing their acoustic guitar on the stage.
How dreamy.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah. What did your parents think about all this?
You know, that's interesting. I often look back on this with wonder because my dad apparently never believed. He talked about God but, you know, in that very ordinary American way where it was like, sure, yeah, our family believes in God. Sure, we, you know, hey, go say your prayers. But it was just, it wasn't a part of our lives. And now I know, yeah, he never believed and just thought that's something you do for your kids.
Oh.
And then my mom, she apparently believed a little more. So when I started going to church, she started going with me.
Oh, okay.
But she never became as fervent as I was. And then my brother, no interest at all, was just like, that's very silly. If there were a God, we would know. We wouldn't need this old book to tell us. Right. That's dumb.
Right. So that probably went over great with you and your brother's relationship.
I was desperate to save him, that's for sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
What? How long did this last? Your evangelicalism? Yeah.
So...
Is there, sorry to interrupt, but mm-hmm. just to piggyback, the evangelical part of it, is there proselytizing? Like, is part of that, like, I'm actively going out and trying to convert people?
Yes, though not usually strangers. So not like, you know, street preaching or anything like that.
Yeah, or though missionaries, not mentors, yeah.
Right. No, I'm getting a picture of a 15-year-old me doing that, and it would just be so bad. But
street preaching.
Yeah. Oh my God, I would have been awful.
You would have had your
it.
Own contemporary song. Like the theme song that you could put on a tape recorder right before you went out.
There, but for the grace of something. I was really into it though from when I was about 13 till 24 or so.
Oh, that's a good long while.
Yeah, with some, you know, up and down in between there, but those are the real hard bookends uh-huh. of the experience. Yeah.
What happened? How did you phase out?
So I was like 23, 24. I had had this boyfriend for 4 years who was very conservative Christian.
That
super,
means probably
super.
No sex.
There was sex. But then guilt following every single encounter, obviously.
Yeah.
And
did that make it more exciting though?
Probably. Probably.
I mean, that's, I just like, yeah, that's a constant question for me with things like sexuality is like, what?
Yeah.
Like because if it happens at a certain point in your life, do you start seeking out like, we shouldn't be doing this behavior because
right.
that's kind of
it
all
adds,
tied in.
Adds,
you know,
a nail to Jesus's hand.
It adds a nail, yeah, because
Jesus's
some
hands.
Part of you must want to
right.
nail him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So to speak.
Yeah, so, but my boyfriend said to me, oh my God, said, so if we get married, you'll do everything I say. And, you know, that's what's in the Bible. And I just want to make sure that's okay with you.
And I'm going to run it by you one last time before I boss you around.
Before you have no right to say yes or no. And
isn't that amazing to imagine, like, oh, so you're saying I have more freedom not marrying you
yes.
and just being your girlfriend.
100%.
Why would I want not
yeah.
to do that?
Yeah. I'm asking you to sign off on your... I'm giving up your right to sign off on things.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God. And so I stared at him kind of blankly and was like, well, no, what? No. And he said, well, you know, it's in the Bible. And I was like, show me where it says that.
Yeah.
And he got out a Bible and showed me the verses. And I had always known those were there, but had done the sort of liberal Christian tap dance around them and said, well, sure, that, you know, in this time and in that context, that's, you know, that's how the culture was. And now things are different or whatever.
Sure.
But I was sitting there and I was looking at those verses and I just had this thought, like, he's being more honest than I am.
Mm.
That is what that says.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
if God really wanted this to be clear, he could have been a lot clearer.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I said, well, okay, you're right. I guess I think the Bible's wrong. And it was like the floor fell out of the room, you know, like, and we never recovered from that. We broke up.
And that was kind of the first time you'd ever sort of verbally questioned the capital W word.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least to another person.
Yeah. That was, I mean, I'm sure there were some, you know, vicissitudes in between there, but that was the moment that was like, oh my God, I'm going to face that. I have this principle somewhere alive inside me that is outside of Christianity and that I can't give up, which is that I have rights that are equal to yours.
Well, that's very lazy and shameful of you.
I know, right? And so, we broke up, and then I just started kind of like listening for the counterpoints to what I had always believed. It wasn't like a conscious search, but I was just like, you know what? Some people don't believe, and why don't they believe? I'm going to listen for that. And then the God Delusion, Richard Dawkins' book, came out like a year later or something, and I read that, and
you were like,
Richard Dawkins is kind of a dick, but he's right about this thing. And okay, and so yeah, it all fell apart pretty soon after that.
Did you feel what was your relationship to the you that had so firmly believed that stuff? Did you feel mad at yourself? Did you feel forgiving of yourself? Did you like have to go through a phase where you felt angry about kind of what you had been told? Was there anything like that? Or did it just feel more kind of like, I'm shedding that skin and that's a good thing and that's okay. And
what
that's who I was.
Amazing question.
Thank you.
Because I definitely thought about my relationship to God. I thought about my relationship to the people in the church and the teachers and, of course, that ex-boyfriend. I never thought about my relationship to my former self in that way. Mm. So I definitely didn't feel mad at myself. I think I do remember being mad that there were times that I had been so scared unnecessarily, like being scared of my friend going to hell.
Right.
But yeah, I guess I naturally forgave myself because I didn't seem to hold myself, you know, over the coals for
it. I wonder, too, if like, because you mentioned that you had some anxiety as a kid, too. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you just sort of traded out one for another, like maybe you would have had the same level of anxiety about something else
totally.
That had nothing to do with the church if you had never gotten involved.
Yeah. So I actually have mild obsessive compulsive disorder that now I take medicine and it's fine. It's nearly gone when I medicated. But then it was awful. And I really think I just attached that obsessiveness and that need for order and stuff onto God.
Sure.
It was
not unusual.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, it's called scrupulosity. It's a version of OCD. Yeah. So then when God wasn't an option, then of course my OCD went to things like I'm afraid of chemicals or whatever, you know. Those, you know, mental illness just travels. It looks for a place to land.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Yeah. What did it look and feel like to you before you found religion?
I remember doing these little rituals that, of course, at the time I didn't think were rituals, where it was like my mind can control things and make bad things happen. So I need to do these little rituals to make them not happen. So, for example,
you came up with that all by yourself.
Oh, yeah. It was just like a knowingness. I just know this is true. Mm-hmm. And so
it's so hard, too, when people are telling you, like, just listen to yourself, because that's like a fair thing. Like, listen to your gut. Like, that's that's a great piece of advice. If you're a person who's evolved past a certain level of mental anxiety or mental illness.
Totally.
Because that was very confusing to me and still is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't trust myself enough sometimes to
totally.
Like, well, I don't know. My gut's telling me I have rabies and I'm pretty sure that's not true.
Yeah.
So, you know?
No, totally.
Like,
yeah.
Gut and brain, I know they're different, but like, things can get very confusing.
The healthiest balance is a true balance where like your intuition is talking to your cerebral mind and there's this sort of dance between the two. Yeah, I totally agree. And I remember feeling that way too, that people would say like, you know, you gotta trust. And I would always think, well, what about like my friend who has schizophrenia, you know? So she's just supposed to be like,
she's
voices
not trying
are
hard
here.
Enough.
That's right.
Not you know? Trying hard enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were your rituals like before, before you found Jesus?
Yeah. So the one that I remember doing a lot of every day was I had a security blanket that I'd had since I was a little kid, and I would put him, yes, he had gender, I would put him in a drawer, close the drawer, and then if I just closed the door with my hand, that wasn't sealed. In order to seal it, I had to look from the left side of the drawer to the right side of the drawer. Oh, sure, like you're zipping
it up kind of or something.
But hang on, then back to the left and then to the middle. And if I didn't do that exactly and do it, quote unquote, perfectly, which what does that mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Then it wasn't sealed and he could like hop out or someone could grab him. So I don't know, maybe 10 times a day I would look at it and do this little sealing exercise.
And how old were you?
This probably was between like 5 and 11.
Oh, God, that little gal.
I know.
That little gal. And it is, it's, I think from the outside, you know, OCD is something that... It is very, I think that's one of those things that's like very easy to explain because there are these sort of lists and rituals. And so they're specific enough that you don't have to just say, well, it's hard to explain. I just had this feeling like I was floating outside. Like I've had to try to explain things that are like a little more sort of existential than that.
Oh, right.
But there's something very concrete about these rituals. But then for a person who's never gone through anything like that, they can understand it from a cognitive point because you're describing something very simple.
Right.
But then from like an emotional and experiential point, it's like, I can't picture that. I don't understand
right.
it. Totally. Like whatever that connection is between you doing it and your need to do it, I think is very hard for someone who's never had any kind of diagnosed mental illness or understood themselves to have those kinds of feelings. I can totally I've never had that exact way that it manifested itself, but I can so hear like how you having a vivid imagination would translate very easily into like these stories we tell ourselves, especially as these like lively, bright kids.
Yeah.
That it turns into this sort of mystical thing that you're like, I know I have to do it.
Yeah.
I just know I do.
My thoughts have power.
Yeah.
You know, which when I hear people say that, especially like sort of new agey people will say, well, you know, your thoughts have power. I'm like, no, do not say that. Like they have some power over you, but that's about it.
Right.
And when you put that out there, then kids like me and OCD is so common.
Yeah.
You know, they're hearing my thoughts have power and they're thinking like, yes, oh my God, when I saw that person cross the street, I wished them ill and now they're going to get cancer and they're going to die. No, your thoughts don't have power.
Yeah.
They have power over you and that's all. And now all that means is if you have a thought that's unhealthy for you, talk back to it. That's it. That's all.
Yes. Yes. So was it around your 20s when you were able to like really talk to some like a person? Did you go to therapy? Were you able to kind of, is that when you started looking backwards and going like, oh, okay, these things are all connected and this is what this is? And
totally. Yeah. So at my undergrad school, they had a program where you could get free therapy as many times a week as you needed, which is pretty amazing.
I think
it was
great.
Pretty singular.
Where were you an undergrad?
University of the Pacific.
Okay.
Which is in Stockton. Boring city.
I'm pretty sure I applied to it because pretty sure anything that I got a packet for, I was like, cool, I'll just apply to it and see what happens.
Did you get in?
I'm sure I must have.
Listen, I get it.
Listen. For some reason, I think I went to a very rudimentary school. God love him. My father was a teacher there, so I don't mean any.
Oh, yeah.
He was a great teacher. I was not a particularly aggressive student, but somehow I got very good grades.
Okay.
And some of it was cheating, by the way, math, 100%.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
But I had good enough grades. Like, I got in places. I also wasn't applying to, you know, I wasn't applying to Stanford or, you know, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had no money and had no sense. Like, I had total insecurity about financial aid. So
where did you end up going?
I went to NAU in Northern Arizona in-state for my first 2.5 years. And then I moved to San Francisco, established residency for a year, and then went to San Francisco State.
Ah, right. Okay.
But gotcha. I would apply to places because it sounded so good and I wanted to be in California or the Pacific Northwest.
Totally.
So I would put myself through these things where I would apply and then I would get the letter that's like, you got in. It'll cost this much. You can get this financial aid. And I'd be like, and then I just put it in a drawer like, yep, got in. Check that off the list. Not going there.
Yeah.
But you went to University of the Pacific.
Yeah, turn it back on.
Whatever.
I deserve this. So they have this great therapy program. And yeah, my therapist there was like, you know, a lot of what you're describing sounds a lot like OCD if you want to. And she was very good about not planting it in your head so that then you would, you know, be like, oh, that must be true. So instead, she would say things like, you know, if you want to read the criteria for that and see if it fits, I could be wrong, but like, you
have... Was it something? Was it a concept that you're familiar with but hadn't applied back to yourself? Or did you have a sneaking feeling like,
I did not. I don't remember having a sneaking feeling, though this was, you know, 15 years ago now. So I could, you know, have forgotten. But... I associated it with like washing your hands a lot, being very right. clean, that sort of thing. And I've never had that. Right. I am sloppy as fuck.
That's the other.
Yeah. So, I didn't put it together until she said like, oh, there's a lot of different types and cleanliness is just one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good on them for having that therapy program. That's so cool.
I know.
I would love for that to be something that's available to everyone.
It would be great.
What were your actual school? Did you go to a public high school or a private high school?
Public.
Okay.
CV, Crescenta Valley.
Craig, why don't you speak to this? No, I'm joking. That was later in your life. Were there people from your church camp? Like, what was your church life and your public school life? Did those things intermingle or were they totally separate?
No, pretty much no, because I went to a church in La Cañada. And so most of my friends from church went to La Cañada High School and I was over in La Crescenta. There were a couple who went to my church, but not a lot. Becky Campana, obviously.
Shout out to
Becky. Sweet girl.
I love you said obviously.
Yeah,
obviously.
We all know.
It was obvious to me from the get-go.
And, a guy whose name I can't remember.
Guy whose name wasn't worth remembering. Gotcha.
Yeah. Obviously. Sorry, guy. He's going to listen to this. He's going to be like, hello.
Less obvious. Not as obvious as Becky.
Right. But I'm still friends with Becky. But yeah. So the La Cañada peeps, they were much cooler. And I kind of wanted to transfer over there. I had thought about doing it. My mom, since she worked in La Cañada, she could kind of work it out. But then in high school, I made like actual solid friends because theater, right?
It'll take care of you many times when nothing else will.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I stayed and went to CV.
So you didn't have a relationship to the church where to the point where you were like, my friends all need to be this or I'll be hanging around a bunch of sinners.
Oh, right. No, I think this is healthy, but I think I was more like, no, it's good for me to be out in the world and like being a good influence. I'm sure I saw it all in those terms, but that opened the door for like, oh, it's totally fine if your friends are not believers.
Yeah. Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Hello, listeners of Maximum Fun. I want to tell you about our newest podcast that tells you all about the truth of the flat Earth.
Have you been looking out over the horizon and you've been thinking, wait a minute, this doesn't look round. I've been lied to my whole life.
What is NASA doing with $52 million a day?
Come on. We explode the myths.
Just kidding. We're Ono, Ross, and Carrie, and we investigate extraordinary claims.
That's right. We investigate extraordinary claims firsthand. We go undercover in fringe groups. We get alternative medicine treatments. And we hang out with people who have unusual beliefs, like flat earthers, 9/11 truthers.
We do ghost investigations. We've joined Scientology, and we got baptized in the Mormon church.
If it goes bump in the night, then so do we. Why don't you check out Ono, Ross, and Carrie at MaximumFun.org?
And how about dating? I know, obviously, you were with a conservative guy, but...
Yeah, I really didn't date till college. I had one sort of boyfriend in high school. Definitely gay. And I was pretty chubby in high school, and not that chubby kids can't date, but I think that brought down my self-confidence to a level that, you know, no one was really asking me out.
Yeah. And you weren't
asking anybody out either.
You weren't asking anybody out either.
Right.
What were the plays that you guys were doing?
Oh, thank you for asking. Okay. let's see. My first one was The Wiz.
Lucky.
Because if you have a high school of mostly white children, why not put on The Wiz?
Why not? Makes perfect sense. That's why they wrote it.
Yep.
That's why they wrote it.
that's who it's for. Uh-huh. And then, okay, then sophomore year, we did Bye Bye Birdie, and I was Susie, so I got to sing, "It Won't Last, Not At All, She's Too Thin, He's Too Tall," which is Susie's only line.
Oh, Suze.
Yep.
It's funny because I used to go visit my dad's best friend and roommate in college, mm-hmm. married one of his other best friends in college, and so we would go visit them every summer, and they lived in La Cañada, but it's because they taught at the high school, so it was the same situation where they had like this very modest house in
their
this
name?
Neighborhood.
Maybe I knew them.
The Weavers?
No, I don't.
Warren Weaver and Mary Weaver.
Oh, that's a very La Cañada
wonderful
name.
By the way, fairly religious.
Okay.
Wonderful people.
Nice.
Same thing where they had like a kid, they had a tape called Kids Praise that they would play in the van on our way to Disneyland. And I
would have
loved
killed
it
to
so
be in that
much.
Family.
I still remember some of those songs. And it was like a little like, oh, shit, like a little shocking because I had to go to Mormon church with my mom. I was like, ooh, these songs aren't Mormon. Ooh, watch out, everybody. But they did Bye Bye Birdie. And I saw show at La Cañada High School.
That's
the only time. It was like the first time I ever saw it or had a recognition of what it was. So my familiarity with it is totally tied to like right around where you grew up.
And I bet it was probably around the same time. What year did you graduate
high
school?
Well, this was not when I was in high school. I went to see like the grown-up kids do it when I was little with my dad because they taught and I'm sure they had something to do with a play.
Got it.
So, yeah. So I saw it and thought that was when I thought high school was like full of adults.
Yeah.
You know, can't tell the difference between like your father and like a 16-year-old.
Oh, yeah. I'm still kind of that way. Anyone who's like 25 to 55, I'm
forget
like,
it.
They're my age.
Same.
Whatever.
Same.
Yeah.
Which is kind of great.
Yeah. No, it's nice. It's nice.
Yeah.
But then I'll have friends who are like, oh, I feel so old. And I'm like, oh, am I supposed to feel old? Because like all my friends who are 23, it's fine. I relate to them fine.
It comes out in like very specific pop culture references, I think.
That's
when you start realizing like, oh yeah. But then I still have that on the other side with my older friends who make references, assuming I'll know something.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm too young for that.
And I grew up on Nick at Night. So
you've seen all the oldies too.
Yeah. I mean, all my favorite people are dying. All of them. Mm-hmm. You know, Mary Tyler Moore, we lost her 2 years ago. If Dick Van Dyke dies during the Trump administration, I'm gonna lose my freaking shit. Yeah. I just need him to survive Trump.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. Those like pop culture things now are so fluid because of retrospectives and stuff.
So, yeah, and the internet, you really can know. There's too much stuff that you can become familiar with if you wanted to. I cannot believe this. I'm looking at the clock in shock. It is time for us to get into this MASH game.
Oh, great.
Perfect. So I'm going to try to tailor some of these. I have some of my old standbys. Mm-hmm. Let's try to tailor some of these into the conversation that we had.
Okay.
So let's do, first of all, let's do three animals that for whatever reason, because they exist, they don't, whatever kind of animals they are, you cannot perform dressage on. But in this MASH universe, three animals that you would like to be able to perform on.
Number one, pigeon.
Great.
I love pigeons.
Great.
Number two, like a very large pig.
Great.
Pigs are so sweet.
Great. Keeping the P-I-G going.
Oh, dear.
Realizing.
I want to say a dog. I know it's too obvious, but at the same time, who doesn't want to perform dressage on a sweet little doggy?
Yeah, great. There's no such thing as too obvious. This is for you. This is for your indulgence.
Okay.
It's not for people to figure out who you are.
And I'm going to imagine that all the animals are big enough that I'm not harming them.
Correct. Yes.
So.
That's all part of it. Is all either you're shrinking down or they're blowing up.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's
like
universe in which we don't know. It's a special kind of universe. Okay, next one is three fictitious places, either from books, TV shows, movies, that you would love to be able to just dip into whenever you want and hang out with the characters and stuff.
I love this because, see, you're talking to an OCD person who's made a million lists in her life, so I've got them right
just
at the top of my head.
List.
Okay, so the first one, of course, is Quasimodo's bell tower from Notre Dame.
Great.
Duh.
Wonderful.
Okay, I made a big deal out of how I would be so good at pulling these up, and now I'm like, what's number two? Because I've thought about that bell tower so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Another fictitious place. Oh, okay. You know, in The Lion King, when they're singing Hakuna Matata and Simba morphs from a baby lion into a big lion, and yes, they're walking across that log.
Yes.
The log.
Great.
I always thought that looked so picturesque and perfect.
I'm sorry that The Lion King was not live action so that you could like make a bid on that log at auction.
Well, they're doing like a live action Lion King.
Yeah. This is the log, guys. This is the actual log.
But that would, I don't know. It's kind of nice that it's trapped in fiction.
Agreed. Agreed. And then just one more.
All right. Okay. Did you ever see Your Name?
Oh, the anime?
Yeah.
I've seen part of it. I started watching it on a plane.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, why am I watching this on a plane? I need to watch this on a big screen.
And then you never see it. This is why I've never seen Lemonade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's like this crater that they keep meeting at the end. It's just really beautiful. Okay. So the Your Name crater.
Your Name crater. Great. Great, great. Okay. Three foods or substances, like it's gonna be drinks or heroin, whatever, that in this reality, either, you know, you want to be able to eat as much as you can, but they make you feel sick, or you're allergic, or it's not, ecologically conscious. In this other universe, those things don't exist. It's all just great for you. You feel great.
Zero calories. Yeah,
there's just no ramifications.
Okay. And there are drinks or foods?
Anything. Yeah. Anything like that.
Okay, well, the food has got to be Thai yellow curry.
Great.
It's so good and so fattening. It's the coconut milk. Ugh.
Yeah, I feel like Thai food is so wonderful, and it feels like a trick, kind of, because it's like, no, this is a delicious dinner that people eat on a regular basis in Thailand. Like,
and it's mostly vegetables.
What do you mean I'm essentially eating dessert at the same time,
right,
if not more than dinner?
Yeah.
God, coconut milk. Yum!
Coconut milk's so good.
Ugh. Okay, Thai yellow curry. Copy that.
A mocha shake. Love mocha. And tiramisu.
Great. Listen, don't ask me. That sounds like a great one to me.
No, I need you to approve every decision.
Yes, I do approve. Okay, I do approve. I will put it down. Let's jump right into the classic MASH question, alternate universe romance. Could be a one-night stand if you're just like, listen, I'm not saying I want Vin Diesel. Please don't say Vin Diesel at all.
Okay, I won't.
But just for one night. Mm-hmm. That, or like, I imagine this person would be like a fun companion. It could be a fictitious person. It can be a character someone's played, or a cartoon, or whatever you want.
And
any age, any era, anything.
And I'm combining all of those. The one-night stand, the marrying.
So they can fit any category.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Okay, Rob Petrie from The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Great.
That's Dick Van Dyke's character. George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life.
Adorable.
Basically, I want all my men to be in black and white. And
understood.
Tina Fey.
Great.
Yeah.
100%. Wonderful.
Excuse me.
Wonderful and wonderful. How about,
Lin-Manuel Miranda, where are we going to put him?
I can't do it.
Okay.
Well,
we can make him a drink.
What? No, here. We'll do three people or characters or cartoons or critters that are like your dear, dear friend that you get to hang out with.
Okay.
So we want to put Lin there.
Okay, we'll put him there. I mean,
great.
Okay, we're not going to have a healthy friendship, great, but okay. Oh God, are they real critters?
It doesn't even matter. It could be anything. It could be like Toto.
Right. There's a little mice in Cinderella.
The mice. Cinderella.
Gus, etc.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I love them. And
God, I haven't thought about those guys in a while. I see that we fell out of touch.
Okay, I'll just say Rex from Toy Story.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Let's say three things you have done on your podcast that someone adapts into a play in some way.
Oh, okay. That's a good question.
Yeah, I pulled that right out of thin air.
Okay, I'm going to say arrhythmia investigation,
great,
which was an ayahuasca facility we went to in Costa Rica. It was wild, whole wild experience. Going undercover in Scientology.
Great.
You got to, right?
Got to.
And three, right?
So yeah.
Third.
I mean, those are two really good plays. I'm ready to watch those plays, right? If not be in them.
And good. Okay, how about we went undercover in the in an occult group called the Ordo Templi Orientis.
Oh, wow. How did you find out about that? I'll just listen to the episode. Never mind.
I can answer this because it actually is in Lacra Fricassenta.
Oh,
can you believe nice. It? I mean,
right on your
doorstep. What a random thing to be in this like little tiny white bread town. Yeah. But I think we were actually looking them up just because we had heard about them. And then I was like, are you kidding me? This isn't Lacra Fricassenta. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Anyway, meant to be. Okay, great.
About MASH.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, let's do three, blah, 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 maybe three real places that you could travel to and have a little vacation home at if traveling and getting there were not a pain in the ass.
Paris. Great. I love Paris.
Indeed.
Machu Picchu.
Wonderful.
Always wanted to go. I'm just going to assume it's good enough to live in.
Great, great.
And what's the like easiest natural park to live in? Like, I'm not going to get iced out or eaten by a bear.
Right. But also not like die from heat stroke in Joshua Tree or something. I mean, it might be something like, yeah, or like Yosemite maybe.
Maybe Yosemite.
Maybe Grand Canyon National Park, to be honest with you. That's another good spot.
Oh, yeah. I've never been there.
Beautiful.
Sure. Stick me there.
I'm going to stick you right there.
Beautiful. Have you ever been to Sedona?
Oh, yes, my dear.
Love Sedona. Love it.
Yeah. Listen, I'm gonna throw in, like, use car salesman. I'm going to throw in Sedona.
Okay,
it's
great.
Just south of the Grand Canyon National
Perfect.
Forest.
Perfect.
And park. Okay, great. And then final category, three things that you and Ross cannot cover because they are in the past. But if you could go experience something that you will not be able to for one reason or another, a place and time, certain cult that existed, something like that.
I mean, we got to say Jonestown, right?
Right.
We got to do it.
Yeah. Some of these places, I mean, listen, I'm just so tired of not being able to understand the magneticness. That's not what I mean,
magnetism,
but like the magnetism of certain people. Like it's you know, when you watch high country or whatever, wild country.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I understand Sheila being very charismatic, but like they give you nothing.
Osha's just I sit on this cushion.
You're like, you seem stoned all the time and you're not saying anything. And then the Jonestown stuff, I read like the sort of seminal, like the long, it's so long, this book about Jim Jones. And
Raven?
Yes.
That one?
Yes. And still, I was like, and then I watched the documentary. It's like, well, if I see him in action, it's different than reading about him in a book. And I still was just like, ugh.
You still didn't want to kill yourself? Weird.
Ugh. Yeah, I still didn't want to kill myself.
So wild.
Can you believe it?
You know, you should read Julia Shear's book, 1,000 Lives. That's she like finally all the FBI records got released and she dug through them. And it's a much different telling of that story. It's really good.
I'm going to put that down.
She's also a USC journalism school grad. So up? What up, Julia?
This is exciting. I'm actually not Julia Schemer. Good Lord. Listen, she may be a schemer. I don't know. Okay. So Jonestown, got it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I know.
Well, let's just do a bunch tangent of death cults. So Heaven's Gate.
Great.
Sure. Although they still have 4 remaining members, but that's neither here nor there.
But again, I listened to that podcast and you listen to them talking and you're like,
oh, no.
I don't know.
Totally.
I don't know what my problem is. I clearly want to join a cult. I want someone I want to be like, I really missed out on that death cult.
I've done it a lot of times and it's everything it's cracked up to be.
Great. Great.
okay. And then I guess, okay. Let's just stick with death cults. So Om Shinriko, they're the ones who did the gas attack on the Japanese subway.
Oh, God.
They've kind of melded into a different group, but let's say Om Shim Riko as it
okay.
was.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying great to send a YouTube right, death cult. Great.
Let's see where you'll die.
Yes, it's great. Okay, tell me when to stop.
Okay. I certainly will. No problem. I will let you know. It's no prob. I'm happy to help.
Gonna be a long one.
What a fun game. Stop.
Okay. Oof, listen, I got to put this on pause. Stat. I have a lot of counting to do just to get to the number where I give you your results. So I'm going to pause this.
Oh, you literally are going to pause. Okay, cool.
I have to. You got to do it. I have to.
You got to do it.
To those listening, it will seem as if no time has passed. And I will come back.
Sound.
Yeah. You're going to get your 100% guaranteed fictitious MASH future revealed.
Can't wait.
Okay. Where do I want to start? First of all, I... can't believe I was like, God, there's a lot of cult stuff on here. That's my fault. Okay. First of all, I want to congratulate you on mm-hmm. your successful toe dip, if not full immersion, into two very impressive cults.
Oh.
One of them very close to home.
Okay.
The Ordo Templi
Orientis.
Orientis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Of course.
I got kicked
also,
out of that one.
Well, listen, this is what I'm going to find out about. And then also Om Shim Riko.
Uh-huh.
So good luck with all that.
Oh, this is my fate.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, listen, one of them is behind you. The other, I guess they're both in your past. Listen, they're both in your past. No, one of them is a play. One of them is a play. I forgot
right.
my own. I
oh,
forgot
okay,
my
okay.
I got so obsessed with just the talking about cults, I forgot that one of them is a play. I
okay.
really enjoyed the play about
so,
that.
About OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis.
And I also enjoyed the episode you and Ross did
on
about
Om Shin
your
Riko.
Experience.
Got
Om
it.
Om Shin Riko. Whew, that
oh,
makes
man.
A little lighter.
Yeah.
The lighter load than you just going into two cults. I forgot.
Right. That's going to be a good play, though.
It's
gonna
be a great play.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. I'm excited about this. Now, listen, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You also have a beautiful house in Machu Picchu. On Machu Picchu.
Great. Great.
So go ahead and just escape there whenever your heart desires.
Wonderful. I'm sure the locals will love this.
I'll tell you what. I know that they are huge fans and they go to all of your...
Mm-hmm.
What is a dressage?
Go on.
A show?
Oh, yeah.
Exhibition?
Yeah.
Your dressage-ibition. Your
dressage-ibition. Mm-hmm.
You, of course, are known for riding on a beautiful giant pig.
Oh, yes, I am.
The very grace. The elegance.
The thinker on the pig. The thinker and the boar.
The thinker and the boar.
It's perfect.
Oof, this is good stuff.
Last night in bed, I suddenly thought, Beauty and the East. And
you were
it's got to be a bakery. And then I looked it up and a bunch of like dumb bands have written songs about pap smears called Beauty and the East. I know.
That's very disappointing.
I know. Anyway, back to MASH.
Levels. God damn it. Speaking of writing wonderful songs for everyone to enjoy, mm-hmm. I want to thank you and assume that you are the inspiration for your friend, probably and more Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, yes, my friend with benefits.
This also makes sense to me because the other person that you ended up with is Tina Fey. So this is just like a threesome.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to go anywhere.
We're a real creative
powerhouse.
You guys
can just be you. It's going to be great.
Great. No complaints.
Yeah, nah, be great. This certainly involves eating all the tiramisu you could ever want.
Oh, nice.
Zero
okay.
ramifications.
Perfect.
And the last place that you can escape to alone or with some of these companions is the crater in your name crater.
Okay.
That's a pretty good future.
Me and Lin-Manuel and Tina Fey at a cartoon crater. Oh, my. What a life. I hope
as you
the pig
take
comes.
Time out for Machu Picchu.
Yeah. I'll tell you something,
a
though.
Pig.
A lot of the ones I ended up with were the ones that I was like, and I guess this.
You know what?
Let that be a lesson.
Let that be a lesson for going on too long, because that was nine. Nine. I had to count through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So, yeah.
Taste of my own medicine.
That's what you get.
Yeah, that's what you
listen,
get.
I don't consider this MASH of revenge.
Yeah. But
if you
could.
Do. Carrie, thank you so much for doing
it's
the
my
podcast.
Pleasure.
This was a pleasure and a joy. It was as
likewise.
Wonderful as I knew it was going to be.
Well,
because
thank
we're
you
adorable.
So much for having me. And welcome to MASH Fun.
I thank you very much. It's been a wonderful transition.
You are welcome.
And anything that you would like to tell anybody about that they probably already know because they probably listened to your podcast, but feel free to say it here.
Okay. Yeah. So I actually have two podcasts. I have Ono, Ross, and Carrie, and then I have a lesser known, lesser appreciated, lesser listened
Let's
to podcast.
Let's get that shaped right away.
Hidden Mickeys. It is a dark underbelly Disney fan cast.
Oh.
So it's all about
I can't believe that's less listened to.
I know.
It's that's going to find its
And
its
my co-host
place.
Is so funny. I co-host it with Natalie Palamides from the Powerpuff Girls. She's wonderful.
Yes, yes.
And then I have a bunch of live shows coming up. So you can go to carriepoppy.horse and see all our upcoming events.
I love every second. Love every second of everything you just said. I strongly encourage people to check all of that out. I know I will be. And I will talk to you all next time on the podcast. The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.